So Bhargav, continuing the journey of Narayana Upanishad.
I to we to he.
He. So in the last episode, we had covered as a part of the Shanti Mantra that precedes the actual Upanishad. Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Upunaktu, Sahavirjam Karavavahai, Tejasvi Navadhi Tamastu Mahavidvishavahai. In that, the first two aspects that are covered in the previous episode were the first one, the effort or the prayatna that the Shishya
has to do. Sahavirjam Karavavahai.
And the second aspect was the
Tejas,
the Medha Shakti,
which we need to have.
That Guru confers upon the Shishya.
And with the effort of Shishya, it comes, yes.
So these two were the two major events, two major aspects that we had covered. So moving on to the next aspect of this mantra.
Just before that, just a recap, Ganesh, for someone who has not heard it last week. The whole mantra of this Sahana Bhavatu, we actually are taking it as a journey which starts from putting effort, and once you start the effort will fructify when you have Medha Shakti, grasping power, to understand whatever you are trying to do, understand that properly and perfectly. You need to have a good grasping power, a good concentrated mind. So that is the second prayer. And the third prayer is actually going from the third mantra to fourth mantra to fifth mantra to first mantra and second mantra. The way it is, the sequence is trying to go like that. So we covered the first two, where you need to have the prayatnam or the effort to actually understand and know the concepts or whatever in life. Second one is the prayer is to have the Medha Shakti, the understanding power, the grasping power, the Dharana Shakti, help you in that prayatnam, so that you are able to actually inculcate or internalize those teachings which you have picked up. The third one is, it's very important again, is that without a guru, it's very difficult to learn any knowledge, is what is believed. Even from our yore also, if you take the example of Lord Krishna or Lord Rama, they had gone to their disciples like Vasishtha. Brahma Rishi Vasishtha was the guru of Rama. Sandipani Maharshi was the guru of Krishna and Balrama. So even the avatars had gone and learnt at the lotus feet of an enlightened master. So there, that is how we have got this Guru Shishya Parampara, and the sacred relationship between the teacher and the student. Just taking cue from this fifth verse, Ma Vidvishavahai, means the relationship between the guru and the shishya, or in our case, even a teacher and a student in a school, in a college setup, should be very amicable, should be very, should be so good that, there should not be a moment of doubt or agitation or a type of altercation or fight or anything. Any type of misunderstanding should not be there. So that is how, the relationship should be there between the student and teacher. In the present context, the present education system, there's a lot of turmoil, lot of, confusion, lot of frustration in the students. And Swami says, that Acharya Devabhava, Acharya, means someone who actually practices and then tells that this is how it should be. So, we have very few who are actually like that. So, let's actually dwell deep into this aspect of what should be the ideals of a guru, ideals of a shishya or a student. Automatically, when the two meet, an ideal guru and an ideal shishya,
the process of learning becomes smooth.
And the amicability, the feeling of being one with your guru or your teacher automatically comes. So there is no room for any misunderstanding coming up. So actually we can look at it in this way, that if you have a very nice ideal guru and an ideal shishya, the relation between them becomes very naturally sweet, naturally amicable. So let's see, according to Ganesh, who is actually a real guru. Means in our day-to-day life, we won't, like, any teacher who is there, any teacher might not, we cannot call them an enlightened master, because all of us are on the process. We are all co-travelers in our goal to reach the divine. So, but there are some traits, some qualities, which definitely make them special. So, you know, Ganesh, can you enlist and let's have some examples on each of those?
Surely. Actually, when we talk about the qualities of a guru and the qualities of a student or a Shishya, both have to be equally balanced.
Yes.
Now, first we'll talk about the types of gurus. Directly from Swami, in the beginning, we shall listen how Swami classifies the different types of gurus. Of course, it is the great good fortune of all of us that God Himself has come down as a guru for all of us.
Yes.
But when there is no avatar around some people, what kind of gurus that Swami classifies them into?
Okay.
We shall first listen from Swami.
Swami,
and then from the university that we have studied, we shall call out some examples.
Yes.
And then how Swami, even in His childhood, from His school days, how Swami taught the teachers how to be and how Swami taught the students how to be.
Yes.
Even those aspects we shall try to ponder upon. So first we shall listen to Swami.
Swami.
Yedo oka guruvunu aadharanga teesukoni, if one takes, if one approaches a guru, atani subodhanala cheta, by his own good teachings, manam unnata sthayiki cherutamu ane vishwasam bharatiyuladi. Indians believe that by such an approach, they would be reaching a higher state of...
ఇక్కడ గురువులు అనేక మంది ఉంటున్నారు.
There are different types of gurus.
శాస్త్ర సంబంధమైనటువంటి గురువులు 8 మంది.
There are 8 types of gurus according to శాస్త్ర.
బోధ గురువు.
One is the బోధ గురు.
వేద గురువు.
వేద గురు.
నిషిద్ధ గురువు.
నిషిద్ధ గురు.
నిషిద్ధ గురువు.
నిషిద్ధ గురు.
కామ్య గురువు.
కామ్య గురు.
కామ్య గురు.
కామ్య గురు. కామ్య గురు.
వాచక గురు.
వాచక గురు.
సూచక గురు.
సూచక గురు.
కారణ గురు.
కారణ గురు.
పీడిత గురు.
పీడిత గురు.
ఈ 8 మంది గురువులుగా ఉండేటువంటి వారు.
దీస్ ఆర్ ద 8 టైప్స్ ఆఫ్ గురుస్.
బోధ గురువు అనేటువంటి వారు కేవలము శాస్త్రార్థాన్ని మాత్రమే బోధించి,
బోధ గురు ఈజ్ వన్ హూ ఓన్లీ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్ శాస్త్రాస్,
దాని యొక్క నిబంధనలు,
he explains the rules and regulations given in shastra,
tagina reetiga aacharinchadaniki,
he also explains the method of
utsahamulu andinchetunti vaadu,
he explains how to practice them and encourages one to live.
Veda guru vanaga,
veda guru
tattvarthani bodhinchi,
veda guru is one who teaches
tattva darshanamu gavinchi,
who teaches tattva and who also shows
tana manasunu దైవం వైపును మరల్చేటువంటి వాడు.
హూడ్ డైరెక్ట్ ది మైండ్ ఆఫ్ దోస్ శిష్యాస్ టువర్డ్స్ గాడ్.
పీడ గురువు అనేటువంటి వాడు,
ది థర్డ్ వన్ ఇస్ పీడ గురు,
అనేక విధమైనటువంటి సందేహములను దురూపమార్చి,
హీ విల్ బి రిమూవింగ్ ఆల్ ద డౌట్స్,
మనసును పరిశుద్ధముగా ఉంచి,
హీ విల్ ప్యూరిఫై ద మైండ్,
చిత్తశుద్ధితే తన ఆత్మతత్వాన్ని గుర్తించుకోపజేసేటువంటి వాడు.
He is one who will be able to purify the heart, and by purification
nishiddha guru aneetunte vaadu,
nishiddha guru is the fourth one,
konni kaamya karmalanu bodhinchi,
he will be teaching people to discharge certain duties,
iha paramulu yendu modamunu andinchetunte vaadu,
he will be able to give us joy both in the world and in the world hereafter.
Kaamya guru aneetunte vaadu,
kaamya guru is one,
పుణ్యకార్యములను ఆచరింపజేసి,
హీ విల్ మేక్ పీపుల్ పర్ఫార్మ్ గుడ్ డీడ్స్,
తద్వారా ఇహపరములు యందు సుఖమును అందించేటువంటి వాడు,
అండ్ త్రూ దాట్ హీ వుడ్ బి ఏబుల్ టు గివ్ జాయ్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ అండ్ ఇన్ ది వరల్డ్.
సూచక గురువు అనేటువంటి వాడు,
ద నెక్స్ట్ వన్ ఇస్ సూచక గురు,
శమధమాది సత్సమ్మతిని బోధించి,
హీ టీచర్స్ శమధమాది ది సిక్స్ టైప్స్ ఆఫ్,
మానవుని యొక్క ఇంద్రియాలని నిగ్రహింపజేసేటువంటి వాడు.
He will be able to help man to control his senses.
ఇంకా వాచక గురువు. ద నెక్స్ట్ వన్ ఈజ్ వాచక గురువు. ఇతను యోగ తత్వమును బోధించి హి టీచర్స్ ద ప్రిన్సిపల్స్ ఆఫ్ యోగా. దివ్యత్వమైనటువంటి ఆత్మతత్వాన్ని అనుభవింపజేసేటువంటి వాడు.
హి మేక్ పీపుల్ ఎంజాయ్ అండ్ లివ్ ద డివైన్ ప్రిన్సిపల్స్.
కారణ గురువు.
ద నెక్స్ట్ వన్ ఈజ్ కారణ గురు.
జీవ బ్రహ్మ ఐక్యానుసంధానమును కలిగింపచేసేటువంటి వాడు.
హీ విల్ బి ఏబుల్ టు మేక్ ది మ్యాన్ మర్జ్ ఇన్ బ్రహ్మ.
కనుక కారణ గురువే ప్రధానమైనటువంటి గురువు.
Therefore, of all the types of guru, Karana Guru is the most
important. జీవతత్వాన్ని దైవతత్వంగా మార్చగలిగేటువంటి వాడు.
He would be able to effect transformation.
ఈ రెండింటి యొక్క సంబంధం, ప్రతిబింబముల యొక్క సంబంధం అని బోధించేటువంటి వాడు.
He will be expounding the principle and the teaching, stating that there is the relationship between
జీవునకు దేవునకు భేదము లేదని చెప్పని నిరూపించేటువంటి వాడు.
He proves that there is no difference between God and man.
ఆచరణ రూపమైన ప్రబోధలు సలిపేటువంటి వాడు.
హి ప్రాక్టీసెస్ అండ్ ఆల్సో ప్రీచెస్.
ప్రత్యక్ష ప్రమాణములను నిరూపించేటువంటి వాడు.
హి విల్ బి ఏబుల్ టు డెమోన్స్ట్రేట్ ద రియాలిటీ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ది
గురువు ఒక్క దైవము మాత్రమే.
సత్య గురు ఇస్ ఓన్లీ గాడ్.
కనుకనే అట్టి గురువుని గురు బ్రహ్మ, గురు విష్ణు, గురుదేవో మహేశ్వర, గురు సాక్షాత్ పరబ్రహ్మ, తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. అతనే బ్రహ్మ విష్ణు మహేశ్వరిగా భావించుకోవాలని నిరూపిస్తూ వచ్చేటువంటి వాడు.
ఇట్ ఈస్ ఓన్లీ సచ్ టైప్ ఆఫ్ గురు హు హస్ బీన్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ యాజ్ బ్రహ్మ విష్ణు అండ్ మహేశ్వర అండ్ హూ ఈస్ వర్షిప్డ్ ద.
సో వండర్ఫుల్లీ స్వామి క్లాసిఫైడ్ ద గురుస్ ఇన్ టు ది ఎయిట్ టైప్స్. ద బోధ గురు, ద వేద గురు, నిషిద్ధ గురు, కామ్య గురు, వాచక గురు, సూచక గురు, కారణ గురు, విహిత గురు.
And he has so comprehensively explained each and every aspect of all these gurus. So in any way we know that Swami himself is the guru of gurus, and there's nothing more in that. But you know, in our day to day life we meet so many, you know, whatever we learn, whenever we learn anything new in any aspect, it's always from someone who will teach us. So we always encounter a guru or a teacher in our life. So and sometimes it happens that we also have a chance to teach someone. So what should be the way a guru should conduct himself? What should be the way he should be teaching the students? Let's try to see in light of what Swami has told also. I think first thing is which comes to my mind, Ganesh, is that should have compassion. You should try to see yourself in the shoes of the student and
exactly.
Say, okay, how am I able to explain things to him or teach the things to him or her so that the student is able to pick it up fast, is able to pick it up easily. And, you know, and yeah, as one is compassion, second condescending. Means you should be able to as I told, understand the mental framework and the setup of the student and then try to modify your way of teaching in such a way. I think there's a very beautiful example of that, Ganesh.
Exactly. It was during the formative years of the Vrindavan College, when it started off as Sri Satya Sai Arts and Science College in Vrindavan. We had interviewed an old student by name Mr. Badrinath.
Okay.
He is a very accomplished chartered accountant in Hyderabad now. So he was sharing a beautiful incident, how the entire system of education had molded him into the personality that he is right now, a man full of values.
Okay.
And then he went on to share that he had come from a very backward village from Anantapur district.
Okay.
So he had joined there for his PUC course. And then obviously that was English medium where the entire syllabus was taught. And he being a village boy, he could not understand the language so clearly. So the subjects were it was like a mountain for him to climb. And then he was falling back in the class. And then one evening, Swami comes for darshan and spots him. Swami used to call him Gulab Jamun because he used to be short and
short
round.
And, round.
And then Swami called him and asked him, how are you progressing in your studies? Then he tells, he did not notice any of the teachers who were standing there. Then he tells, Swami, I'm feeling it very difficult to understand the language, Swami. I am from Telugu medium. English is very tough for me. The subjects also I am not able to follow.
Okay.
And then Swami beautifully, see how Swami comes down to the level of the student. Swami calls immediately. There was one lecturer by name Tukaram.
Mm-hmm.
He himself was a student in Swami's college and then went on to become the professor there.
Okay.
Swami called him and told, see Tukaram, this boy is complaining that he is not able to understand the subject. Why is it that you are not trying to come down to his level and make him explain? You explain it to him.
Mm.
Then Swami tells a very beautiful sentence. Teacher should not be like a tape recorder.
Mm-hmm.
These are very wonderful sentences.
Yeah, yes.
Teacher should not be like a tape recorder. Teacher should mold himself so that the and his teaching way so that the student can understand.
So beautiful, yes.
So Swami directs him, till this boy understands, you make him learn.
Means you teach him more than once.
More than once. And the teacher, see, obviously there is an ego that comes with every learned man, with all due respects to everyone.
Mm.
So they feel offended when you tell them directly that you are not teaching well. But Badrinath sir tells that Tukaram sir had taken it so sportively that he, from that moment onwards, he spent extra time during the evening sessions after these college hours,
yes,
to teach him in the language that he could understand.
Mm.
And by the end of his curriculum, he became one of the most brightest students, one of the top 5 rankers in the college.
In commerce. Okay.
And that was the level to which the teachers had come down to bring the students to that kind of perfection.
Yes. You know, again, one more thing. Whenever there should be this, if any of these classes or any of the semester exams or anywhere, if students don't perform well and it was brought to the notice of Swami, his invariably answer will be only one. It is not the mistake of the students. It's the mistake lies with the teachers. They have to do self-searching. They have to do soul-searching and find out what is lacking in their teaching style or the way they are conducting their lectures, because a student is just like a ball of clay. It's just the way it is, you cast it, the teacher casts it, the student will get cast. So it's always he put the responsibility on the teacher to be the best, to teach the student. That because Swami was very, very clear in this aspect, that acharya means you first practice it and then preach it, and then with your example of your life, the way you conduct, you teach them. This is again one more very interesting aspect, Ganesh, of a teacher. And one more very nice and interesting experience you had about Professor Narendra.
Mm. This is wonderful. This was also during the old Vrindavan days time, when the Arts and Science College was there. See the how the wonderful bonding between the student and the teacher was developed. Professor Narendra was a very, very accomplished professor in English.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days, and even now, the Vrindavan classrooms were like galleries.
Okay.
So that all the students could be seen by the teacher. So, sir happened to teach one of the English lessons in the class, keeping his hand on the desk of the first row. And then, as he was reading out the lesson, one of the boys who was sitting right in front of him dozed off during the period.
So tired he was. Mm.
That too, right on the hand of wrist of Professor Narendra.
Mm.
So he slept off. And then sir noticed that, and to the utter amazement of all the students, for the entire 45 minutes of the class, sir did not move even an inch. And he delivered his lecture in such a soft tone that the boy doesn't get disturbed while sleeping.
Mm.
And of course, after the bell rang, the boy woke up and he himself was stumped to see what Professor Narendra did for him. So that is the kind of
compassion
and more than compassion, you say it is love towards the students.
Yeah, invariably after that, probably he will definitely tease that boy. But you know, at that moment, probably he was tired or something. So he allowed that to happen. And then, you know, I cannot, when you talk about compassion, you talk about love, talk about making a relation with the student, I think I cannot but I'm tempted to, you know, mention name of Shiv Shankar Sai sir. You know, our when we were students, he was a warden sir. He is a professor in physics. So you know, he's being a warden, he was an exemplar actually. You know, he used to be like, he used to do everything perfectly the way it should be done and then tell others. I think one of the incidents where one of our classmates had just shared that, you know, when in his work, he's a workaholic, means he's karma yogi, just do work for sake of Swami and just do work incessantly without any break. And you know, he used to do this day in and day out. And then sometimes this boy noticed that he's skipping his dinner. And you know, because of the work, you know, work in the office, work in the university, teaching, and then the hostel, being a warden, many times he used to skip the dinner, the meals. So boys used to get a glass of milk, I think, and then keep it for him.
Glass of milk and chapati.
Chapati silently in his office, so that whenever he gets time, whatever time in the night, he can at least have it. This was noticed by sir, you know, due to the concern of the student for him. And then this is a very, you know, as a spontaneous gesture of reciprocation, you know, as a teacher. What he did was, he got...
he gave a treat to the entire class, room.
The room, okay. So, that because you have given that, you know, that gesture of touching gesture towards me. So, he, as a teacher, he always want to be, like Swami says, you should be always giving. You should always be on the side of giving when you're a teacher. So, he also reciprocated it by giving a treat to the whole class. It's again very special. And now if you come to the shishyas, the student, how a student should be. I think guru, I think we have, like, one is, of course, he should be knowledgeable. He should be very good in what he teaches. He should be good in his stream. Second is, he should be compassionate and loving. Third is, he should have the concern. Put yourself in the shoes of the student and try to teach how the student should understand. And then, as Swami says, the again important aspect is that any mistake on the part of the student not getting or understanding the concepts or anything in life, the mistake lies with the teacher. It's very, Swami is very clear about it. So this is, you know, it's a responsibility. Like we mentioned last week, they are your premaputras. Swami told them, you have to teach them with love and bring them up. So I think these are the aspects of the teacher, correct, Ganesh?
Yes.
I think we have covered mostly everything. And then now we come to the student. You know, even a student should not be less. He should be two steps ahead in being an ideal student also. I think first thing is Shraddha. You know, you should be earnest in what you're doing, what you're trying to learn in your stream, whatever you're trying to, whatever it can be. Be that earnestness, the yearning to learn something should be there. And second thing is, like, you should have, even if you have doubts, the way you put a question to your teacher, there should be some respect. There should be a way of putting questions. It should not be for ideal curiosity. It should be a genuine question which comes from the heart after pondering over it and not understanding. So this can be true to some extent for our normal studies. But if you have a question which is, you know, something which is more to do with life, that should be even more
genuine
and sincere. Because, you know, there's a story which goes in Shirdi Sai Charitra, where, Nana Sahib Chandorkar comes to Shirdi Sai Baba and he tries to mutter this one shloka of Bhagavad Gita while we're doing path seva. I just quote the shloka. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshyantite jnanam jnaninah tattvadarshinah. Means, Shri Baba asks him, what is the meaning of this? He just gives a very general meaning that you should serve a guru with doing path seva. Tadvidhi pranipatena means bow down to him. Pariprashnena, serve him with questions if you have any doubts. Sevaya, do You should just do seva to him. Then he will show you what is the true knowledge by showing what is not true knowledge. That's the meaning. Shri Prabhupada says, no, this is not the correct meaning. You tell me the proper meaning of it. He gets little, his
ego. So what he told was the bookish meaning.
Big bookish meaning. And then he thought that he knows a lot about Sanskrit, and actually Baba doesn't know anything about Sanskrit, because being a fakir, at what he will know. So that day he gives a revelation of what he is, and then he says, okay, tell me what is pariprashna. So he says, asking questions. Then, you know, very hilariously our Shri Sai Baba puts it, that if you say prashna is same as pariprashna, why should Vyasa, or composing the Bhagavad Gita, why should he put pari as a prefix? So his ego is totally knocked out, because he never understood it. There is no difference between pariprashna and prashna. Shri Sai Baba says, no, there is a lot of difference. Prashna is just asking question, any question, out of ideal curiosity or just for the sake of asking. Pariprashna is, you ponder over it, you think over it, you try to dwell over it deeply, and when you don't understand, from the depths of your heart, that question should come. When that question comes, automatically you get the answer from the Guru. Or your own questioning and the yearning for your question will give you the answer. That is pariprashna, he says. It's such a profound meaning of that. Means whenever you go to a guru or anyone who is at a higher pedestal, who knows more knowledge than you, should always dwell upon your question, think about it, but you're really genuinely trying to know this, and then put a question. When you put a question in that bhavam, in that manner, you'll definitely get an answer. If not from this guru, someone else will answer. You know, in this aspect, again, one more aspect, Ganesh, very interesting aspect, is that even if the guru whom you are being taught by is not knowledgeable, he is not so good in telling things or clarifying your concepts, it can be worldly, it can be spiritual, it can be anything, but if the disciple has Shraddha, he has earnestness, has sincerity, has yearning, you know, that the Supreme Guru, the Sadguru, who is there all over, who is all pervading, will make sure you get your answers.
Exactly.
So this is so special. And then, you know, when we talk about prashna, when you talk about questioning something sincerely, I think Ganesh will tell us narrate that experience of one of our brothers who had asked question about to Swami about Suprabhatam.
This is actually very wonderful, because this explains to us the aspects of the guru and the qualities of the Shishya. Both will be very clearly highlighted in this incident. It so happened that Swami was giving interviews to the room leaders continuously.
Of the hostel.
It so happened that Swami, after a few weeks, he stopped giving the interviews. And then in the queue, whoever was next was so perturbed and they were disturbed that why is not Swami giving us interviews anymore? And then the entire lot of room leaders had gone to Swami in darshan, and they asked, Swami, please give us interview, please give us interview. And then Swami comes and tells them, see, whatever I had with me, I had already told to you. So now you are all so knowledgeable. You know everything. So why should I give you interview? And this continued for 3-4 days.
Okay.
They kept pestering Swami that, no, Swami, you have to speak to us. But if there is no purpose, there is no need to talk. So that is the that was the stand on which Swami was there.
Mm.
And then on one day, when they continued their prayers to Swami to grant an interview, suddenly a boy got a wave, my brain wave, that as Swami was just passing by, he told, Swami asked, why do you want interview? And Swami moved on. Suddenly a boy gets up and tells, Swami, we have doubts.
Okay.
Swami, we have doubts. This was just a single sentence. And then Swami, so enthusiastically, he just turns back. Oh, you all have doubts. Then come tomorrow morning. I'll give you interview. I'll clarify all those doubts.
So beautiful.
Means the earnestness of the student triggered that fire in the guru to at any cost remove those doubts, dispel the darkness in their minds.
Yes.
And then the next day, all the students are getting ready for the interview. But at the back of their mind, all of them know that they do not have any doubts.
Mm.
It was just for the sake of asking that they had asked Swami for an interview. And then each one's heart was beating faster. Swami ushered them into the interview room. They all took their seats inside the room. And then Swami followed them. As he entered and bolted the interview room door, Swami started walking amidst the boys towards his chair. And then suddenly asked, "What questions do you all have? What are the doubts?"
No, the eagerness of the
eagerness
guru.
Of the guru to clarify the doubt. And then everybody was like dumbfounded because they had none.
Mm.
It was just a casual ask for Swami.
Yeah. Just to get an interview.
To get an interview. But Swami being so serious, they did not expect this. And then Swami was just standing there without moving. Until and unless they asked the doubt, Swami did not want to go and get seated himself in the throne. And then suddenly, one boy raised his hand. This brother of ours, he raised his hand. "Swami, I have a doubt." And then Swami asked, "Yes, what is the doubt?" Swami, all the juniors in our hostel are asking, "Why at all should we do Suprabhatam, Swami?" "Swami, we don't have an answer for that. Can you please explain to us?" "Ha, very good question." And then Swami sat. And then Swami started explaining. See the genuine concern of the guru, the interest of the guru to clarify the doubt.
A genuine doubt.
A genuine doubt. And then Swami tells, "See, in the morning, if you don't go for ablutions," and Swami showed his finger pointing to, and then all the boys were giggling. And Swami tells, "Seriously, I'm asking, if you don't go for your ablutions, what will happen?" Then all the boys replied, "Swami's stomach will get upset, the health will get spoiled." "Correct. In the same way, your mind. If you don't empty your mind every day in the morning, it leads to unhealthy state of the mind.
Mind, okay.
Your spiritual balance will get disturbed. So, if you do that prayer in the morning, if you do Suprabhatam, all those thoughts, all those ideas, unwanted things that are there in the mind will get flushed out. So that is why you have to do Suprabhatam." And Swami went on explaining to them the significance and then how it should be chanted, the various modalities of the Suprabhatam. And the entire group of students were taken aback by the interest that Swami showed in clearing their doubts.
So beautiful.
So how the guru should be and how the Sishya should be. This was the wonderful example that Swami
has shown. One more thing. When you told this, I am reminded of one more incident. How the question should be and what should be the culmination of the question. That's also very, very important. You know, it's not that eternally you should keep asking questions. This was a very interesting incident which happened. I think I was an MBA. We have these moral classes. Sometimes in the moral class, 3-4 brothers will sit together and they'll be given a topic and they have to give a presentation on it. So for us, the topic was Judaism, Jewish religion. So we sat and we prepared for 1 or 2 days, 2 nights and all. And then we did a presentation on Judaism about the Old Testament and their sacred, this book called Talmud, and then sabbatical, all these concepts. We had some idea of that and we had given a presentation in the auditorium for the whole campus, the whole college attended it. And then the special aspect of this is that you go back to Mandir in the evening and then Swami will ask what happened today and then Warden sir will tell and then there will be some interaction. So excitement was there. So what happened? That evening we went and sat and then Swami came for darshan. Used to beautifully glide and come. And he asked, Shivashankar Sai sir was there. Swami asked him, Shivashankar Sai, what is today's thing? So Swami, these boys presented on Judaism. Is it really? Then Swami looked at us and then said, "Oh, did you present? Okay. Oh, tell me, what is Judaism?" So we just said Jewish religion. Then somebody told, what is Jew? Then we told something else. The one who follows the sacred book, and what is a sacred book? Next question. Then we thought, okay, sacred book is something which is, you know, which is, which gives you your, you know, your lessons for life. What is life? Swami went on. Swami went on. He didn't stop. And then a point came. I don't remember. Some series of 4, 5, 6 questions. A point came where there was silence. We were not able to answer. Swami was waiting for the silence. And once the silence came, Swami looked at three of us. You know, his beautiful smile. This is Mimamsa. I never understood the meaning of that before. Oh, it looked, sounded very heavy for me. What is Mimamsa? So I went back and tried to see, but never got that wow, eureka moment, revelation, bulb has glowed. No. But later on I understood that, you know, when you question self-inquiry, this is where I think we are going into the inner guru. Mahavidyushavahi, your relationship should be with your inner guru, and it should be so special. You keep questioning yourself. You know, Ramana Maharshi says, who am I? Or any question. You go to the root of the question. Because finally, what is the truth can never be answered. It can only be answered in silence. And Mimamsa is the perfect way of doing the inquiry. And you know, when Swami told, Swami waited. You know, Swami was waiting. He knows that a point will come when they cannot answer. He waited for that point. It came probably 3-4. Someone else who is more knowledgeable about Judaism can go for 10 more questions. Mm. But for us, we just prepared.
But there would be some point where we all would stop.
Stop. And you know, the whole sequence, if I just, you know, in retrospect, when I try to understand and try to analyze it, what is religion? What is spirituality? You try to take your steps, try to understand what is. You take a book or take any scripture, try to follow some disciplines and all that, and try to reach God, try to go near to God, and then unlearn everything, and then become totally hollow. So that
you receive the knowledge
grace
of the Guru
like a flute. And you know, the best example which I always find for this is the pole vaulter.
Mm.
A pole vaulter will take the big pole and push the pole and try to
vault, go up the vault.
Vault, and then try to jump. When he jumps on the other side, he has to leave the pole. Mm. Once, if you don't leave the pole, you'll fall back.
Mm.
So leave the pole and then cross the hurdle.
Mm.
So, you know, Swami made us go through, he gave a very small mini example. Give you Judaism, XYZ, whatever is your religion.
Just a glimpse
of what actually what is the whole process. So it gave Judaism as a proof, and you pick up, you take the pole, you run, come, and then when the crossing hurdle he showed, the crossing hurdle was in Mandir, in front of him. The real life lessons are there. So he waited for that fifth question and then stopped, enjoyed the silence as if, oh.
And then just left the pole.
Just left the pole and you know, that those words were so special. Idi Mimamsa ra. This is Mimamsa. This is the inquiry. This is how you should inquire. Swami actually gave a glimpse to us. When question comes, say no. Not this, not this, not this. You know, question, you know, how the mind is. From the experience, what we understood is that when one question is answered, one more question will spring up from the mind. But there should be a discipline from the side of the Shishya also, that you try to curb this question also and try to go to a state where there is silence. So in this whole episode, Swami tried to exhibit that in a very, very, very simple way, which we didn't understand that time. But in retrospect, you know, Sadguru or the Guru of Gurus will always give you that glimpse and give you the understanding. When you get paripakvata, when you get fruition of the
knowledge,
experience, whatever. So this is one thing which is, you know, very special about a shishya. Whenever you go to a guru, do a question, but always be ready to have an inner connect with your inner guru.
So how many ever gurus that Swami explains, finally Swami tells that you are your own guru. So finally the conscience or the atma in you will be the true guru for you.
Yes.
So I think with these few points, we shall bring this episode to a close, and we again request the listeners to please do write in their feedback and their thoughts to listener@ssmediacenter.org or WhatsApp it to 9393258258. So with a prayer that every thought, word and deed is His inspiration, we shall end today's class with the Kshama Prarthana Mantram.
यदक्षरपदभ्रष्टं मात्राहीनं तु यद्भवेत् तत्सर्वं क्षम्यतां देवा नारायण नमोऽस्तु ते विसर्गबिन्दुमात्राणि पदपादाक्षराणि च न्यूनानि चातिरिक्तानि क्षमस्व साईश्वरा अपराधसहस्राणि क्रियन्ते हर्निषन्मया दासोऽयमिति मां मत्वा क्षमस्व साईश्वरा अन्यथा शरणं नास्ति त्वमेव शरणं मम तस्मात् कारुण्यभावेन रक्ष साईश्वरा हरिः ओं तत्सत् श्रीसाईश्वरार्पणमस्तु.
From a few moments from now, you'll be listening to the live Telugu segment Sri Satya Sai Divya Sandesh Jhari. Stay tuned to Asia Stream. Sai Ram and happy listening.